Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, another week is gone. These go so fast. It's just insane how quickly these weeks go. And you know, now we're post the campaign and we're on to hopefully doing good things for the people of this state. And I've got, let me tell you guys, we have an incredible show. We got two amazing guests. The first one is, oh my God, I'm so excited. We've been trying to get around for so long. When she was here before, three-time Senate champ. Come on, let's hear it. I can hear your applause here. Yes, three-time Senate champ. Your friend and mine, our wonderful Senator Tammy Baldwin, is back. Hi, you won.
Hi.
Yes, you won.
Yes, we did. Oh my gosh, what a team effort. it's great to join you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And I have to say, before we get into it, I was so proud to cast my vote for you, and it really was an amazing thing that even though the top of the ticket we didn't really get what we wanted, but I'm so grateful that we're sending you back to Wisconsin. I think it speaks so highly of what you do and how you carry yourself and how you work tirelessly for our family. So thank you for finishing the goal and crossing the finish line and you're back.
Yes, well, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I approach the campaign much as I do my role as a senator, which is really working hard to travel all over the state and listening and understanding what people's challenges are, as well as their aspirations, and then getting to work and delivering. And so it is super important to me to not just hang around in blue counties, but to go to deep red counties and purple areas and rural Wisconsin, suburban Wisconsin, urban Wisconsin. Just showing up matters, and that's how I serve as a senator, but it's also how I operated as a candidate for reelection.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I would hope that in the next 2 years when we have some, you know, some congressional races that I think could be, you know, rather important to the balance of power here, I we can kind of take some of the Tammy Baldwin secret sauce and get more of our, you know, we're 2-6 right now in the state, but we're a 50-50 state. You know,
exactly.
We got to change that. What about you? You've been not a rock star in Wisconsin.
Well, it's that showing up. That's exactly what matters. And, you know, I will say in terms of representation, Wisconsin has for a long time had very gerrymandered maps. And so even though, again, you cite we're a 50-50 state, we have so many statewide races that are decided by razor-thin margins, as my own was in this race.
Yeah.
But yet we had a state legislature that was 2/3 Republican, 1/3 Democrat until we got fair maps. Mm-hmm. And now that we have fair maps, the state legislature is going to look quite different when it's sworn in January. It's not 50-50 yet, but it's much closer to that. But you know what? When they dealt with the gerrymandered state legislative maps, they did not deal with the congressional maps in the state. And so they're still pretty gerrymandered. And again, you point out we're a 50-50 state in statewide races, but we have out of the 8 congressional seats, there are 6 Republicans and 2 Democrats. So that isn't really reflective of the voting population of our state.
Do you think there's something we can do about that?
Well, I think there may be litigation, and maybe it can be resolved in much the same way the state legislative maps were, in that what the court said, our state Supreme Court said was these current gerrymandered maps, they're unconstitutional, and the best way to resolve this would be for the legislature to pass new maps, which is what ended up happening. It wasn't the court that got rid of the gerrymandered maps. Right. It was the state legislature itself. That would be the best way of resolving this. But if not, the courts can look at redrawing them if they find that they are gerrymandered.
What do the next 2 years look like in Washington?
Yeah, you know, I'm giving deep thought to that right now.
Right.
As you can imagine, we're just winding up our session for this year. And on January 3rd, the new Congress will be sworn in. Both houses of Congress will be led by Republicans.
Yep.
But in both houses, also a fairly narrow margin. And I always look at what I can accomplish in a bipartisan manner. Because, you know, in the Senate, with the filibuster, you need a supermajority to pass legislation. You need 60 votes, not just a simple majority of 51. And so one of the things I do every 2 years when we have new members joining the body is I look particularly at the Republicans in the incoming class, and I say, what are their states like? What similarities do the states they come from have with Wisconsin? Are they industrial states? Are they agricultural states? What did the newcomers run on? What were they talking about in their campaigns? And if they held lower office before, the next question is, what bills did they work on? What did they introduce? And I almost always, in that review process, find common ground. And, of course, the next step is to get together with them and say, you know, congratulations, you just won a seat in the United States Senate, you've just been sworn in. You know, it seems like you're interested in the following issues, and I'm super interested in those, too, on behalf of Wisconsin. Maybe we can work together. And interestingly enough, I mean, I've done that many times in the past, and a bill that just passed the Senate unanimously a few weeks ago, the Invent Here, Make Here bill, is one that I lead with J.D. Vance, the vice president-elect.
Isn't that crazy?
And people look at the, you know, like, how did the two of you end up working on this together? And it's like, it was exactly how I just described it. You know, Ohio is a manufacturing state just like Wisconsin. And we also both had a real eye to making sure that China doesn't cheat economically, costing us jobs. And this bill fit both of those priorities for J.D. Vance and myself. And we ended up working together on it. And, of course, it ended up passing the Senate. We haven't gotten it through the House yet, so we're still working there. But that's just an example, and I'll be doing that, which gives me hope that there are some issues that we'll be able to make progress on. But I do also know, you know, when I fight for Wisconsin, that also sometimes means standing up to whether it'll be President-elect Trump or some in the Republican Party when they're pushing things that are bad for Wisconsin.
Right.
And I'll be doing that, too. But I think we can do both. We can figure out the ways to work together and then stand up when the proposals are not in Wisconsin's best interest.
Now, you do have a bill on the president's desk for a signature.
I do.
Let's talk about that for a moment. I want to hear about this.
Well, it's what we call the CVSO Act. So for those who don't know this, CVSO stands for County Veterans Service Officer. We work so closely with the County Veterans Service Office in each of the counties and tribes in the state of Wisconsin. Oftentimes for a veteran or somebody who's returning to civilian life after their service, the County Veterans Service Officer is their first contact to connect them with VA services and programs like the GI Bill or health care benefits that they may or may not know that they have earned. And so these County Veterans Service Officers are incredibly important. They connect people with federal services and programs, as well as state veterans programs. But you know what? There's not a penny of federal support for those folks. Wow. And when a county budget is strapped, oftentimes you see them making cuts to those veteran service offices. And so what this bill does is help support those officers in serving our nation's veterans and our state's veterans. And I just want to share one story of that was just really, really remarkable. You know, we do casework with veterans who are having challenges cutting through red tape with the VA. But we had a couple of veterans come to our office saying that they believed that they had been misdiagnosed during an exam for traumatic brain injury. Oh. And actually had to get a second opinion in the in the private healthcare system, which contradicted the misdiagnosis that they got through the VA. Well, it turned out after checking in with several county veteran service officers, they were hearing this, and it wasn't just from one veteran or two veterans. It became a real pattern. And these veteran service officers helped sound the alarm about a doctor who was misdiagnosing veterans who were suffering from traumatic brain injuries. And because these advocates helped raise the alarm on this issue, we were able to finally get the VA to reexamine actually hundreds of cases.
Wow.
And now well over 100 veterans have been had re-exams and have been now connected with the healthcare services that they earned and deserve, and they have also gotten retroactive disability pay.
Oh, that's amazing!
To the tune of over $4 million.
Wow. Well, and
none of that would have happened without this partnership that we have with the county veteran service officers, who are veterans themselves, by the way.
That's amazing. Senator Baldwin, thank you. Thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for winning in November, and thank you so much for serving us again for 6 years, and I hope to have you again soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much. We'll be back here after this. Yeah.